Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 19 and verse number 1, and we'll be covering the fifth lesson in this series of Issues of Life Answered from the Bible. And the lesson this week is, Does Character Count? Does character count? In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 1, the Bible says, Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Underscore, if you will, that word, integrity. Integrity is something that is missing in our nation. Recently, our former president, in his reelection campaign, saw that character became one of the key issues of the campaign. Before, when our former president was elected the first time, the issue of that campaign was, it's the economy. In other words, people were more concerned about the economy and their belly than they were having a man of character in leadership in this nation. One of our generals who was leading our troops in Desert Storm said there are two qualities that every leader should have. Number one is strategy, and number two is character. And he said if we had to do without one of those qualities, it would be strategy. So in other words, character was the preeminent thing that this general was looking for out of his leaders. And character is something that all Christians should possess. Character speaks of those things which are in the heart. And character is who we are. And as we draw close to the Lord and we want to please Him, we'll be people of great character. Reputation is what others may think of us or may say about us. Abraham Lincoln said that character is the tree. Reputation is the shadow. If we have character in our lives, we'll cast a great shadow, and others will see it. And may God help us as Christians to be people of integrity. The word integrity, as you'll see there in the second paragraph of your study material, the word integrity means to be complete, together in honesty, nothing to hide or fear, transparent, together. A person of integrity is someone who has nothing to hide. They're not trying to deceive someone. There's no lies, no fronts to be put up. They're just someone who is open and honest. And may God help us all as Christians to be people of integrity. You'll notice the caption that says, No one can take integrity from us. If we lose integrity, it is because we give it up of our own volition. You know, we live in a world that is full of people who lie and cheat and deceive to get on top, perhaps in the business world and many other areas as people try to get ahead in this world. And we've seen recently how that big businesses, the executives have cheated their books and did different things which would make it appear as if their company was doing well. And of course we see that it has cost investors millions and millions of dollars. And we're certainly in a crisis for integrity in the business world, but not only in the business world, but in every facet of our society. But the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 13, if you'll look there with me, talks to his disciples, and he says to them in verse number 13, Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, Ye are the salt of the earth. The church is to be the salt of the earth. In this time of where we see people of little or no integrity, the Lord Jesus Christ expects the church to be people of great integrity, and we are to be that strengthening agent in our society that will preserve integrity. When people think of Christians, they ought to see that they're people of great integrity and truth and character. The Lord Jesus says, If the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You know, salt does not lose its chemical makeup when it is mixed with other ingredients, when it is polluted, when it is contaminated. It does not lose its chemical makeup. It does not lose, in other words, its character of who it is. But it does lose its strength and power. And when Christians do not remain as people of integrity, we are going to lose our strength and our power and our witness for Christ and our effectiveness. Now, the Bible also tells us in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Perhaps there are many business people who are in our Sunday school classes. They are dealing with a competition who is using unscrupulous business practices. And so they're wondering, how do I deal with this? How do I get ahead? Well, the Bible says that the integrity of the upright shall guide them. In other words, when all else fails, we're to do right and trust God and know that He will take care of us. And the other part of that verse says the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. So we certainly do not want to get entrapped in the perverseness of transgressors. Now, as we look at the Bible and what the Bible has to say to us about character, we wonder, does God reveal in His Word how we can obtain character? Well, we see that the keys to integrity are in the book of Job, and the life of Job is a great lesson for us on integrity. Let's look in Job chapter 2. In Job chapter number 2 and verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, to destroy him without a cause. Notice what the Lord says about Job in the closing part of verse number 3. Still he holdeth fast his integrity. Integrity was important to Job. As you look in Job chapter 27 and verse number 5, Job is answering his friends. And he says in verse number 5, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Also in Job chapter 31, verses 1 through 6, Job says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Job was a man of integrity. So how do we obtain integrity? Well, there's some things that we see as we examine what God said about Job that'll help us as Christians understand how we can obtain integrity. Look in verse number 3 again. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, verse number 3 of Job chapter 2, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Look at that little word there, my, that personal possessive pronoun. The Lord says, Job is my servant. Job knew the Lord. If we're going to be people of character, we're going to have to know the Lord. Remember, Satan is in a struggle with us. He's struggling to impugn not only our character, but by impugning our character, he wants to impugn the character of God and bring reproach upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we are going to hold fast and resist the devil and bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and be people of integrity, we realize that integrity comes from knowing God. The Lord said, He is my servant, and Job knew the Lord. There are many people who know about the Lord, but we need to know Him. There is no substitute for knowing God. We must know Him. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 10, that I may know Him. The goal of Paul's life was to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we know the Lord? How do we know Him in a greater way? Certainly we all need to know Him as our Lord and Savior. But many people who know the Lord as their Savior need to enter into a deeper communion with the Lord, knowing Him in a greater way. And we know Him through prayer. And we know Him through Bible study, reading God's Word. We know Him through the experiences of our life when God has proven Himself faithful to us. And when we have to put our faith in Him, God becomes more real and we know Him in a greater way. So as we're teaching our students in our Sunday school, we want to encourage them to know the Lord, to read the Bible, to trust God, to pray on a daily basis. We see that integrity comes from knowing God. Then I want you to see what else the Lord says about Job and how we can obtain integrity. The Lord says, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God. Integrity comes not only from knowing God, but integrity comes from fearing the Lord. Many people today in our society would say, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to live right because I don't want to catch some dreadful disease. Or perhaps I'm going to do what's right because I don't want to be caught in some illegal activity. Perhaps where the Internal Revenue Service or some law enforcement agency would catch them and put them in jail. And so people are motivated by fear to do the right thing. But a Christian should not be motivated by fear of retribution of some disease or perhaps even of people. A Christian ought to be motivated by the fear of God. Many times we've watered this doctrine of fearing God down to the point to where we say it's just having a reverential respect for God. But not only do we need to have a reverential respect for God, we need to realize that we are all personally accountable to God. One day we'll stand before Him in judgment. He's the God of the universe, and we should fear Him. And if we're going to fear the Lord, then we're going to be obedient to Him. And so fearing God is obedience to Christ. So if we want integrity, we have to fear the Lord. And as we're working with our folks in our Sunday school on this coming Sunday, we want to encourage them to be obedient to the things that God has commanded in His Word. Fear the Lord. Have a fear of Him. So we see that integrity comes from knowing God, and then also integrity comes from fearing God. And the last thing we'll see is that integrity comes from living for God. Look at the closing part of the verse. He says that Job is a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God. And the next thing you want to underscore here is, and escheweth evil. Job eschewed evil. To eschew means to remove your foot from the path. Job was the kind of man who would not put his foot on the path of evil. We know the devil is trying to do all that he can to make that pathway attractive, but that road is leading to destruction, and we know that. And so may God help us to, as Job did, eschew evil, to live for the Lord. Job determined in his heart, I'm going to live for God. I'm not going down the pathway of wickedness. You know, we're dealing with folks in our church and in our Sunday school who are in the business world and who are working jobs, and every day they're faced with decisions that they're going to have to make. Are they going to get involved in some immoral business practice, perhaps? Or maybe they're at a bank and the banker gives them more money than they really needed. Well, they're going to have to make a decision. Remember, the Bible says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. That word better indicates to us that we have a choice. And the people that we're ministering to and trying to help in our Sunday school are faced with those choices every day. Many times people in the workplace will want to speak about things that no Christian should listen to. And so choices have to be made. We need to make a determination in our hearts that we're going to live for God. In the reading material that is provided for many of you teachers, you'll see that our pastor talks about his love for his wife and how that he loves to spend time with her and be together with her. And, of course, we know that all husbands are commanded to love their wives and they're commanded to take care of their wives. But he makes the point in the reading material that his love for his wife, his desire to spend time with her, is not motivated by his duty or by his obligation, but is motivated by his love. And, you know, it's the same way between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. If we love him, we'll want to please him. We'll want to live for him. We'll want to live a holy life separated unto the Lord and from the world. Not out of duty, not out of obligation, but out of love. Do you desire to be a person of integrity? Well, the Bible says, number one, you must know the Lord. Number two, you must fear him. And number three, you must live for him. In this day of integrity crisis, we need to remember that character really does count. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this lesson. I pray that you'll help all of us to be Christians with great integrity and character. May our church be a shining light in the midst of a perverse and crooked nation. Lord Jesus, be with our Sunday school classes and teachers. Help them as they prepare for this Lord's Day. May we see many souls saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.